our 12th
shear in Sefer. Okay. 12th shear in the Sefer Musar Avicha of Hagaon of Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. We're on page Mem Hey. Maybe we'll start again from the bottom of Mem Dalet, but let's start again from the bottom of Mem Dalet. Today is the 14th of Sivan, the 4th of June, and we continue in the Sefer Musar Avicha. I have to again repeat that the study of Musar from any of the great Chachamim of the period of the Achronim, what it does is it opens up the depth of the Torah. Our sages were very terse, very cryptic in many of their statements, and even the Rishonim were sometimes, they just said the bottom line, the conclusion, and you sometimes need Achronim to unpack it, to show the depth and the breadth of it. This is what you find in Lumdus, in the halachic realm. You find this when we study halachic sections of Gemara. It's certainly true of the agadic sections of the Gemara. And therefore, I'm really giving a disclaimer why this Sefer is very deep, because he's showing us the depth of what many statements mean. I just spent over Shavuos, I gave three shiurim, talking about Rav Kook's view on a certain inyan, which actually also shows you, what all this does is it shows us the depth of what the Torah is supposed to be. Rav Kook, with all of his, wrote in Halacha with tremendous depth, and Kabbalah, and Musar, and he was, in what I was presenting on Shavuos, he was showing us that all of that is the weak and impoverished Torah that we have, and we don't have Nevuah. And he explained the difference between Torah and Eretz Yisrael and Torah and Chutz Laretz, because there was Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, and there were vestiges of that that remained even in the head Ruach HaKodesh. So every time we learn and we climb higher, and then we realize, and that's just a little bit, and they mean that very literally, and the ability one day to return to that full rich Torah will come. But even the little bit we have is tremendous wealth, but we have to understand that it's very little. And therefore, we try to the best of our ability to understand things as fully as possible. Because even when you do that, it's still just a small percentage. The Mishnah says in Avosim, Eina nili mili uchshani latzmi moani. If I'm not to myself, who is to me? And if I'm to myself, what am I? Some take it to mean in a benevolent sense. I have to be looking out for myself, but if I'm only to myself, it's no good. But Rabbeinu Yonah takes it in the Musar sense. If I don't rouse myself to plumb the depths of the Torah, who was going to do it for me? Because even when I do, Shanila asked me, even when I do all that money, where do I get? I'm still very little. So it says, Chazal say, Kule hai v'ulai, all of this and maybe, all of this, and you still need a lot of siyata d'shmaya. So if the Sefer seems deep, hopefully it stretches our Musar Das Hashem muscles, which gets us closer. It's not supposed to be instant gratification. It's supposed to be, I understood that idea, this idea I'm still working on, but I always be working on it, so it stretches our understanding.
Sore muscles.
Yeah, that's right, and then they come back, and sometimes it takes a while till they come back. Sometimes you're working on something for a long time, and then suddenly when you're learning something else, you're like, oh, you know what, now I think I understand that concept. So sometimes it's even when you're not working on it, but at least the fact that you raised the questions before and you worked at it before, later
but
you
it's
come
deceptive.
To...
deceptive. If you think you understand it, you probably don't.
Well, that's what he said earlier. He said that's the problem with Musar. Yeah. If you read one of the great Musar works and you're looking, okay, this is pretty straightforward and I'm chuckling, so I'm getting riled up. He said that's not Musar. That's delusion.
Right.
So the matter that he's addressing now, and we skipped a week because of Shavuos, so it's worthwhile that we review a little bit. We have a mission in Pirkei Avos that says that you shouldn't serve Hashem like servants who want to receive a prize, who want to receive a prize or reward, but you should serve like those who don't want to receive a reward. Rav Kook posed a question, and I think the problem is many of us don't understand the question. We think that's an easy Mishnah. So first I want to show you why it is a question and why you do agree it's a question, and only then can we go to the answer. So you shouldn't be doing things because you want a reward. You should be doing things like as those who serve the master, not for a reward. So some of us hear that. We say, oh, that's not really very difficult. Yeah, that's how you should serve Hashem. You shouldn't be looking for self-gratification. You should be doing it for its own sake. But let me try to explain why. I'm elaborating, but I believe this is exactly what he means, why it is a question. Every being should seek to perfect itself, to make itself its highest possible, to reach its highest potential. Now, when we think about that, in most realms, we're willing to say, well, no, but maybe that's not true. In other words, I could be a great athlete. I could dedicate all of my time to honing my skills and my muscles and be a great athlete. Then I'd be reaching my highest perfection. But most of us say, but maybe that's not the best thing you should do. You should forego that for something else. I could spend my whole life becoming a great athlete and therefore never help anyone and never do anything good. So we say, no, you shouldn't reach the highest. But why should I not reach the highest potential in that realm of existence? Because there are better things to do. And let's say even in terms of accruing wealth, I could work on accruing my own wealth, but most of us say that's not the best thing you should do. You should give it to someone else. Do chesed, do tzedakah, help others. We recognize that immediately. Good. That's all fine. But that's all because building my physical body, building my wealth, those are all things where we shouldn't want perfection, really, because those are not the ultimate goal. But if I tell you, you have there's a piece of you called an neshama, which is the highest creation of Hashem in the entire universe. Contemplate all the cosmos. The highest creation is a human being and his neshama. And if I'll tell you, the perfection of that is figuring out how to balance body and soul, how to live in Olam Hazeh in the best way, which means at times foregoing things. I'm going to forego that and forego this. But the goal is to develop my neshama to the greatest degree possible. So if you think about it, that we intuitively say that's what you should do. Everything else is a mushal. Person could be the greatest scholar possible. Person could be the CEO. Person could be the greatest artist. Whatever it could be, those are all areas of development. But ultimately, we sacrifice some of that for what we feel is the highest goal. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, really want from me? Those maybe are all means, and therefore times have to be sacrificed. Anyone can contemplate in your own life the things I could have excelled more at if I hadn't sacrificed it for something else. So we recognize all of those things. Don't perfect yourself in one area because there's somewhere else where you should be better. But ultimately, when you think about it, when you trace it down, so what is that highest level of my existence that I should perfect? There we actually would say that you should be the best you can be. I should perfect my neshama. Now, what is the pras? What is the reward that this Mishnah is talking about? So this is all a given in Rav Kook's writing. And I think this is why, before you get to his answer, you have to really understand his question. When the Mishnah says, don't be like servants who serve Hashem, amanas lakabel pras, in order to receive a reward, he's not talking about that you should get rich, that you should have a comfortable life, that you should have good things. He's talking about the reward, which is the reward of the neshama, which is that it perfects itself. A neshama that pursues chachma and pursues tzedek and pursues righteousness, thereby becomes perfected, as close to perfection as it can, thereby approaches shleimus. So wait a minute. Now it does seem very troubling. It's one thing if you tell me, don't serve Hashem because you have ulterior motives, don't serve Hashem. But if Hashem did create, however we understand it, a being independent of himself, the one being where he said, I will give choice, I will give free will to some other creature, I won't give it to the blue whale, I won't give it to the amoeba, I don't give it to the malachim, I give it to human being. I gave one being the ability to make his own decisions, and thereby he has an independent, of course, ultimately it's subsumed under HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at some level he made a being that has its bechira. That being, by choosing badly, diminishes itself, reduces itself, can even
annihilate itself. By choosing well, builds itself, perfects itself. He can get sidetracked by materialism. He can get sidetracked by 1,001 things. But if he does it, if he pursues the right thing, he achieves shleimus. The Mesilas Yesharim starts off by saying that man's goal should be his aneg al Hashem, to bask in the greatness of Hashem, which is his neshama approaching its fullest potential. So now the question becomes much more troubling. Isn't, you know, you read this mission that says, don't be like servants who serve Hashem in order to receive a reward. Wait a minute, the reward we're talking about is perfecting your neshama, building your neshama. Wait a minute, isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're not talking about some kind of selfish self-aggrandizement. We're talking about the building of oneself that comes from selflessness. It comes from chesed. It comes from doing what the Torah wants. It comes from sleepless nights trying to figure out a piece of Musar Avich. It comes from, but that is the goal. That's what all of this self-sacrifice leads to, is that ultimately the person has brought his neshama to the highest level of shleimus, hopefully, that he can achieve. That's the reward we're talking about. And when the Mishnah says, don't be like servants who serve Hashem in order to receive a reward, that's the reward it means. So he's saying, so why not? That's, okay, is that a fair question? Okay, I think he intuitively feels the question. We have to think about it a little bit. But that's the question he was addressing, really, from on page Mem Gimel and Mem Dalet.
So why not?
Oh, okay, good. This wasn't even pre-rehearsed. Okay, so I'll tell you the short answer, and then we'll see how he articulates it. And he breaks it into two steps. One that goes this paragraph from bottom Mem Dalet to Mem Vav, and then the bottom of Mem Vav to Mem Tes. That's already a deep answer. Okay, they're both very deep, but yeah.
Part B of that question would be, what shall we do instead? If not that.
That's a good question.
If not that. Right.
Okay, right. So.
But we should do it, but with a different mindset, in other words.
Yeah. What he's going to say is, what the Mishnah is telling you is, this: the sole goal, the singular focus is la'asos nachas ruach liyotzro. That's the term that our sages use, which means, it's a term you can't even translate because it can't be literal, but to make a pleasantness for his creator. Now, of course, we don't mean that literally, because God is lacking nothing, and therefore when we do his will, it's not literally that he is pleased, like a parent who is displeased when the child doesn't listen and is pleased when the child does very well and says something nice. So it's lasaber sa'ozen. It's a terminology we use, as most things, whenever we talk about the Almighty, we don't mean it literally, but God created the world in such a way that, quote-unquote, he is pleased when man does his will. Without trying to figure out what exactly that means, but that's, it says it with regard to all of the karbanos, when man sacrifices something for his creator, it's reyach nichoach laHashem, a pleasant smell for Hashem, which absolutely is not literal, but it means something real, even if we don't fully understand it. But in our level of, we think of it as if we've pleased Hashem. So the singular, the sole goal in everything we do is not even for my own development of my neshama, which is this great entity that Hashem gave me, which until I read this, I'm thinking, that's what you're supposed to do, perfect your neshama, don't get sidetracked. He gave you this great entity that he wants you to perfect, which is a good goal, and it's a lofty goal. He's saying that's not even what you should be thinking about. You should be thinking about lasos nachas ruach liyotzu. Question, what do you want from me? That doesn't make any sense. That's what you're supposed to perfect. Yeah.
But if the goal is, or the, I don't say outcome per se, but you're on a continuum towards shleimus and devagus, and if that's to the degree that that's achievable, the notion of lekabel pras is something external to that shleimus.
No, I believe that is the shleimus.
No, but to lekabel pras, that if you were to imagine shleimus, you like, you have everything, and then you get a prize, which means that's something you don't already have. Otherwise, what would you be getting?
So yeah, no, but the truth is
internal to it.
I believe he's understanding that the Mishnah means that. In fact, just to illustrate the point, there's a big question in the Torah, why, that all the Rishonim talk about, why there's so many places in the Torah where it says, you'll do the will of Hashem, and I'll give you rain, and your grain will grow, and everybody will be healthy, and women will have healthy children. Hello? Olam haba, schar mitzvahs, all those things are ephemeral. Why does the Rishonim all ask the question, and they speak about it at length, the Chavos HaVavos and many others. The Archaim HaKadosh in Parshas Bechukos actually collects like a lot of the answers, because that's where it says, V'nasati gishmechem b'itam, you do my will, guess what? You know what I have for you? Rain. Okay, rain's good, but there are many answers why the Torah doesn't talk about the reward in Olam haba, but they're all true. And one of the answers is along the lines of what you're saying. That's not reward. That's reality. If I tell a student, I want you to study this material very well so that you'll know it. And when you know it and get over 98 on the test, I will buy you an ice cream. You can call the ice cream a reward. The fact that you'll know, if I would say to the student, and you know what I'll do? And you know what we'll do for you if you study very well? You will know, I'll let you know this material. What do you mean? That is inherently what happened. So that's really what you're asking. It's not something external. When you perfect your neshama, if you avoid impurity and you pursue purity and goodness, so your neshama. But Rav Kook is saying, and I think this is Pashup Shah in the Mishnah is saying is you shouldn't even have that in mind. Even that reward, which is really inherent,
right,
that you've perfected your neshama, should not be the goal. Right. Perfect yourself, not in order to perfect yourself. Yeah. That's what the mission is saying, and the question is,
why?
What's wrong with that? Why should that not be the thought? I mean, Hashem gave me a neshama. Is he Yetzirah that distracts me from it? Is he Yetzirah that develops it? It's not selfish, it's selfless. When you do chesed, when you live selflessly, you perfect your neshama. So that is perfection. That's what I should do. Yeah, but why? But why should I not? The ultimate goal should be that I live the life that my neshama is now a great, as much as possible, shalem. What's wrong with that? That's the question.
So, in other words, you're supposed to be humble.
No, I haven't given the answer. I've only posed a question.
Okay. That's what's doing for your own sake.
Yeah. This is humility. You have to realize all of this. By being humble, you do this. By being selfless, you do this. By being all those wonderful midos, you perfect your neshama. So ask Rav Kook, so what is wrong with having in mind that I'm trying to perfect my neshama? That's who I am. And again, it would seem like it would be the highest goal.
So what is wrong?
So now we agree to the question.
Because that's a self thing.
Huh?
That's a self thing. I want to perfect my neshama. I want to do it because.
Huh? But
it's still a goal in itself.
But Hashem created you. I mean, when you think in Olam Hazeh selfishness, you think of I have things, not you, and I'm a miser. But this is not, this perfecting your neshama comes from living a life of giving tzedakah and crying for the pain of someone else. You perfect your neshama by being selfless, by having the greatest midos. Because a neshama is not a material being that's selfish. A neshama is a holy entity. So you're perfecting your neshama by doing all of those lofty midos and mitzvos and pursuit of Torah that we always talk about. So what is wrong with that? That's what he's asking. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, so we agree with the question. His answer is that seichel itself, seichel is the highest... Seichel is a function of the Shema, recognizes that one thing can be so dwarfed by something else as to be irrelevant. And what he says is, even though your Neshama is such a great entity, your Neshama radiates. I was talking before Yizkor and Shula, when we say Kiel Mother, we say Kizoa Harakia Mazhirim, that the Neshama should be luminescent like the luminescent bodies of the heaven. Even though that's all true, but compared to the big picture that it's a piece of, and compared to what you have done at large by perfecting yourself, what you've done for the bigger picture, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Olamos, Efes V'ayin.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. And he's saying, and one who understands, the problem is it was very hard for us to understand this because we're already in cloud nine when we start talking about these things, but one who really thinks about it, understands it, That's such an overwhelming feeling that, yeah, okay, of course I'm perfecting my neshama, but what I'm doing is I'm perfecting one little gear in a masterful machine. How could one even think about that? What that does on a grand scale dwarfs everything else. And our problem is we don't tend to think like this. For us, it's such a big goal to even think of the neshama and to not be distracted by all the things that we think we've got it once we focus on that. What he's telling me now is, no, that's nothing. And even that's nothing. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make such a big universe? Our existence feels so big, but then you contemplate the vastness of the universe, you realize how small. Because that's a mashal for the Olam HaRuchni. So I can be so caught up with the vastness of my neshama, but that's only the size of Bala Kinwit. Or that's the size of Earth. Then you have to think about the cosmos and how it fits in with everything else. And by perfecting your neshama, by doing what you're supposed to do, you have such a positive impact on all of that, that it's almost impossible to even think about the individual neshama. Therefore, lasos nachas ruach liyotra. That's what he ends up saying. Let's see how he says it inside. Bottom of Mem Dalet. So he's just phrased the question, and he said that the Mishnah says you should want to do Hashem's the pasuk says you should want to do his mitzvos, not the reward of his mitzvos, which is perfecting yourself. The Mishnah says do it as if you don't want to receive a reward. The Zohar HaKadosh is full of this concept. Not it's no good when they're doing things for themselves. Legramayu, that was the end of the previous pasuk. And he says the Kabbalah emphasizes this idea very much. Now that we've already said the answer, you can understand why Kabbalah emphasizes that, because Kabbalah focuses on the bigger picture, on the olamos. Most of the time, we live in olam hazeh. The Svarim emphasize we're supposed to, for the most part, think about what we're supposed to do, not trying to figure out what our Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. That's above me. But it's helpful to realize. He said what Rav Kook is basically saying, that to really process what the Mishnah is telling me is you have to have some awareness of Kabbalah, of the vastness of the Olam HaRuchni, of the spiritual world. So he says, bottom of Mem Dalet, Avol Kasher Nisyashiv Ma'at. When we'll think about this, and we read this last time, just reviewing it, when we'll reach equilibrium, to be Misyashiv means to be in a state of equilibrium when you can think clearly. Nira, we'll see, Shaderach HaSeichel Hu She'en Lo Shlemes Kiyim Im HaYosher. It is the way of Seichel that it cannot have completion, top of Mem Hei, except when it has Yosher. Yosher means clear thinking. In other words, you can be intelligent and think about all kinds of interesting things, but if ultimately they're false, the seichel is not pleased. A person can come up with a whole convoluted system of beliefs and of thinking, but it's mental gymnastics, but it's not really seichel. The seichel is not really pleased with it. In the Torah, chochma, seichel, means true wisdom, not It's a nice, like we say in Yeshua, it's a nice shtickel Torah, but it's not true. It's a nice, it's a nice pilpul, but it's not true. So seichel to Yosher, he says, is like life to what you need to live. You can be alive, but if I don't have the things I need for life, so my life is empty. I can have seichel, a person can have a grand seichel, I can have a great mind, but if you don't feed him truth, he's thinking about Narishkeit his whole life, so then there's no pleasantness to it. V'haseichel im ha-yosher, it's seichel with straightness, hu shleimus ha-nefesh, that's the completion of soul, kemosha ha-chayim im kol tzorke ha-chayim, hu shleimus laguf, just like being alive and having what you need to live. The person is alive, but he doesn't have his basic necessities, still alive, but it's a life that's so lacking. So once he realized that, nira she'en roi klal la'adam ben das, it would then appear that it's not fitting at all for a person who's a ben das, who has das, she over Hashem Yisbarach zulasi me'ahava, to serve Hashem but purely out of love. V'lasos nachas ruach liyotzro, and again, there's that term, to make a nachas ruach, a pleasantness for his creator, l'male ritzono hakadosh, to fulfill his holy will. Why? Afal pishazeu etzem ritzono shiyavo adam l'chala shleimus hagodol v'hanichbad ba'od. Even though it is his will that man should come to this complete shleimus, mikol makom ein hamasim reuyim shiyifnu kiyim l'tachlis asiyas ritzono b'levad. In other words, you could turn around and say, what are you talking about? Why are you telling me I shouldn't serve Hashem to complete myself? He wants me to complete myself. Okay, you hire somebody in a company, you say, this is your job, we want you to do it. And the guy comes into the office in the morning and he puts up a mantra over his desk, I want to do my job. My goal in life is to do my job to the fullest of my ability. And the CEO comes in and says, you selfish, what's the matter with you? He said, what do you mean that's what you hired me to do? He's saying, yeah, but there's a higher goal. That's what Rav Kook is saying here. So even though Hashem wants us to do our job, but the kavana in doing the job, remember, the Mishnah didn't change what you should do. The Mishnah changed why you should do it. So I'm supposed to do my job. I'm supposed to be an eved who serves his master, a servant who serves his master. So the servant is supposed to do his job. But what the Mishnah says is, but your underlying goal, your ultimate yearning in doing your job should be different. So he just said, even though God's will is that that my neshama should reach shleimus, the most honorable and great shleimus completion that it could reach, mikol makom ein ha-masim ru'uyim, but the actions are not fitting sheyifnu, that they should be turned, meaning the goal, kiyim l'tachas asiyas v'tam v'va. Why do you want to complete your neshama should be, not to complete your neshama, it should be because of the grander scheme of things, to do the will of Hashem. So now he gives a mashal that makes it a lot easier. And I paraphrase this last time, now I'll read it inside. V'hinei, behold, nira adam echad. We see a man, shehu baal leiv nachon, he has a smart mind, v'ohev tzedek, v'chesed, and he loves righteousness and good kindness. Nizdamen lo lahatzil medimna ashleima. It happened to him. His damnus is an opportunity, something that came up. It was nizdamen to him. He had the opportunity to save a whole state. There's thousands and tens of thousands of people there, men, women, and children. And he saved them from some kind of collective, big accident, tragedy, that was ready to occur to them. For example, that he perceived with his chachma that in a few days, there's going to be in the whole vicinity, the whole area of that state, an enormous earthquake, an awesome, frightful earthquake. So nobody else picked it up. He's what do they call him, a seismologist? He knew the science better than anybody else. And he's looking at his computer. He says, "Oh my goodness, you know what's about to happen?" And ad shebeachreich lo yishar mehemish, that no one would remain after that. But who is here? Not only did he perceive it, but he sleepless. He went ahead and he warned them. Vitzilam. And not only did he warn them, but he helped get them out. He helped evacuate everybody. He perceived it. He diagnosed the problem and he solved the problem. He got the planes, the buses. He said, and he made the announcement. He got the word out. Everybody must evacuate immediately. He got every last person out of that place. All right, so here, an enormous set. Perhaps the greatest salvation in human history. Owing to the wisdom and concern of one man.
Sounds like Moshe at Mitzrayim.
Okay. Ubishvil ze, and because of this, kishishama ish echad mehatova hagadola sha'asa. There was a certain person who heard of this great deed that this man did. Shalach lo elef shekel kesef lamana. He sent him a reward, 1,000 shekel. Now he's not even talking about the shekel chadash. Rav Kook is talking. Actually, he's before this. He's talking. Okay, he sent him. All right, send him $1,000. You know, I was so moved. I saw your story on news. I was so moved, dear sir. I was so moved by what you did. $1,000 check. All right. V'imtia simchas ha'ish hahu b'shvil elef ha'shekel kesef gedola yoser misimchas nafsha b'shvil hatzalas kol osan achlusin. If the joy of that man, the savior, if his joy will be greater for that $1,000 that he received, greater than the joy for saying that whole population, that whole population. Okay, here's the guy. It's the day after the salvation. He's sitting in his living room all gloomy. And then he gets in the mail. Woohoo! Look at this. Hey, Johnny, look at this. $1,000. And now he's doing cartwheels. Vadai shetia shiflus gedolu p'chisus erach minasha. That would certainly indicate a lowliness, a great hollow in his soul. There's something profoundly wrong with this person. V'heder shleimus, a lacking in completion, the character development. Ad she ro'iyya l'kol ish deya lis onin al p'chisuso, to the degree that any person of deya should mourn. Lis onin is to bemoan. Imagine he's on the news. They interviewed him a day after the salvation, and he's. And then when he gets that check, they interviewed him, and he's People would be talking and they didn't have the right to be talking. There's something profoundly wrong with this person. Anybody with das should bemoan that there's something wrong with him. And we sense that. That's why he's giving this mashal. We intuitively feel in this story, any normal person would understand that. So now we have to analyze in ourselves, why do we feel that? This is the way a mashal works. You realize it here. Why do you realize it? Now to apply it to something else. V'kasher nachkar heitev shorish zeh hapchisis. If we'll analyze well, what's the root of this lowliness? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this man? Look, he has to pay his bills too, you know. V'tam ha-hechlet alzos, the reason for the decision, the reason why we would so decisively say there's something wrong with this guy. V'tam ha-hechlet alzos ha-natiyah shehi pchisis, the reason we would be so sure to say that this tendency in the man is a lowliness. Because we are able to evaluate the value of human life and how valuable it is of each one. Right? Chazal say a person who saves one soul is like saving the whole world. We recognize even to save one person, decent people would move heaven and earth to save one person. And he saved the whole state. Vinis kabitz b'da'atenu Hatov hakolol v'hayakar hamakiv kol nefashos harabas, and it collects in our mind this collective good and this honorable and great good, the hamakiv that brings together all of these many souls. Even if he saved one soul, we would view that as laudable. He's worthy of a good article in a journal, and he saved all of these souls. Ad shenivze be'einenu kinegdo zos hatova chalusha shel elv shekel kesef, to the degree that it's a bizaya. Nivze means it's lowly in our eyes. In contrast, this good, this weak good of 1,000 shekel, what is that? If this recipient, meaning the person who saved the state, if he was shalim b'hakaraso, if in his recognition, if in his ability to be makir, to recognize things, he was of sound mind, it's impossible that it would be considered to him that this weak, this this weak goodness, neged hatova haraba shasa, in contrast to this grand good that he did. V'chol zeh b'shvil hakavod v'ha'erech hamuskalano b'rivivos alfeish. Why do we feel that so sharply? It's because we recognize the value of the lives of tens of thousands of people. V'ata, novo cheshbon. Now, that's a paraphrase of Chazal. There's a pasuk in Parshas Chukas, Al Kain Yomru Hamoshlim Bo Cheshbon. In context, talking about wars and the parables they would say about wars, but there's a Gemara and Bava Basra that the Bali Musar all quote. It's maybe one of the most classic Musar. Bo Cheshbon can mean that people were saying, let's go to the city of Cheshbon. But Bo Cheshbon can also mean, come, let's make a reckoning. So it's a common term in Musar Sfarim. Va'ata novo cheshbon. Now let us come to cheshbon. Let's make a reckoning. All right, there was a mashal that just resonated very much with you, but that was just a mashal. That's a parable. Now let's apply it to what we're talking about. Ka'asher nisbonin b'shleimus habor yisbarach. When we try, I'm adding the word try because we can't really contemplate the completion of the Creator. We can't begin to. But when we try to contemplate, and anything that's impressive, anything that's an incredibly complete system. You just spent 40 years researching the science of something, and you realize, oh my goodness, the intricacy of this. Anything impressive in the universe, and it's not a drop in the bucket compared to the greatness of the Creator of all of that. Well, that's just one little aspect. So I'm thinking about my own shleimus, my whole life struggle, yitzhara. Oh, but I did a good thing, and I worked, and I studied, and I did mitzvah. Oh, shleimus, very nice. Very impressive. Okay, now try to contemplate the shleimus of the Creator, uchvoda, and his glory, she'en lo keitz v'tachlis, which has no end. Afal pi she'en lanu hasaga v'erech b'melitzayim, even though we really have no fathom, we don't even have with what b'melitzayim, which means with what to envision things. Like I always say, it's like trying to explain the difference between red and green to a person who never saw color in his life, to a blind person. We don't even have the terminology. We don't know what we're talking about when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Mikol Malkam, turning to Mem Vav, Anu Yodim Shekol HaKavod V'Hayakov V'Erach HaMerumim Sheyeshna Mikol HaMintzam Kol. We don't know what he is. But what we do know is that all of the glory and the greatness and the value and the loftiness
the lofty value that there is in everything that does exist, b'chohan im tzoyim kul, and all that does exist, merom maila tachta shefel, from the highest height to the lowest depths, from some distant planet to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, whatever it is, l'kulam he'etzil mikvodo b'yikrosu shleimusa asher ein aroch elav. He'etzil means when something is lofty and like it skims off a little bit. Here's my cappuccino. You want to taste a little bit of the cream? taste a little bit of it. Whatever grandness we see in the universe and anything that the human mind can contemplate, can experience in a lifetime, is something he skimmed off the top. Here, have a little taste. A little taste for you, man. So we don't know what he is, but we know how to make at least a mathematical comparison. If all of this is so great and it's a tiny fraction or less than the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yadanu baru, and we know clearly, Shabbatoni Yisbarach, that his will, Hu Yoser V'yoser Yoker V'yoser Nichlid Be'ein Aruch, is more and more great, honorable, dear, more and more honorable, without any means of even comparison, V'ham Shel Kla, any mashal, you can't even make a mashal between God's greatness and the greatness of that which he created. Mikol Yaakov v'chavad u'shlema shebechol hanem tzom kulam, from any greatness and honor and completion that there isn't anything that exists. Imkain, if so, hayitochen, would it be correct, sheyis yashe v'seichel hayosha, that a straight-thinking seichel would be able to make peace with, lochush olachshov al hayakar u'shlema shemagia lo l'nafsho, to be concerned about, lochush means to be concerned for, olachshov, or to think about, the glory and the completion that's coming to his soul, that thereby his individual ratzon is satisfied, is fulfilled. And again, we're not talking about a bad ratzon. Here we're talking about a good ratzon. We're not talking about material selfish ratzon. Being selfish for your neshama, our point of departure was that's not actually a bad thing. What do you mean? That's a holy entity. That's a good thing to develop. But what he's saying now is, but just look at it compared to the big picture. How can a proper seichel be at peace with that, be concerned with the tininess of his own shleimus, im yodeyahu sha'al yidei ma shehevi atzma l'shleimus, if he knows that by bringing himself to shleimus, to completion, the end of the line is going to be, he's bringing goodness to all of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely greater. And if the Torah tells us that when we do mitzvos, we're bringing anachas ruach, whatever that means, but in human terms, it's what we call pleasing Hashem. You're pleasing this grand entity that's greater than. How can I think about my own neshama when I know that it has that greater impact, which is so much greater? That's what he's saying. The reason why I had to finish the sends outside is because he puts in parentheses that when he brings himself to Shlemus, parentheses, Vigam Kol and Avroim Kanoda Misoda Shemli Re'ev. He drops a bomb in a parentheses. He says, if a person would know that by bringing himself to Shlemus, which by the way brings everything else to Shlemus, as is known to the by way of the process that Hashem revealed secrets to those who fear him. Okay. He means it's an idea in Kabbalah that's apparently very deep. Soda Shemli Reyev is a pasuk, and where there's a place where the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, and I'm right because this was revealed to me, the Soda Shemli Reyev. So it means it's a deep idea in Kabbalah, but I'll leave it at that, and daven to Hashem that one day I'll know what he's referring to. But apparently there's some idea that when a person perfects himself, he also perfects the other neshamas around him. But even all of that is only a drop in the bucket compared to the grand effect it has of bringing a nachas ruach liyotza. Osa bazeh hu ritzono shel abor yisparach. Where the point is, by so doing, he's doing the will of the Creator. At a certain level, what he's saying is simple. You're saying, why are you worried about your own neshama when it has a greater effect? At a certain level, but to internalize it, I think, is very difficult. The bottom line is, I think even after we read this, we'll go back to seeking to perfect our own neshamas, because it's a high level to be able to not be thinking in that way. What he's telling us, what the Mishnah is really saying is, we should really be thinking much more broadly. There's an idea in the Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu was selfless. The reason why he's so humble is because he's so stubborn. Chazal said Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in Parshas Tetzaveh because a person, he was so given over to the process of making the Mishkan and bringing Hashem's presence into the world that there was no element of ego in it. At a basic level, we say, oh, it means he's so committed to do the will of Hashem. What it really comes with, Moshe Rabbeinu had such a profound, you know, more profound understanding of the Creator than anyone else on earth. And therefore, of course, he was selfless. Of course, he didn't even think of his own neshama because he understood the effect it has on everything else. Of course, he just viewed himself as a gear in a larger machine. Most of us, it's hard for us to think that way. But shedavar zehu yoser chashuv v'nichbad, that this thing is more important and more honorable. Mikol hanimtzayim atzmam, then all of, nimtza means something that exists, from all of the existent things themselves. And he means even collectively. Im kol kavodim b'yikar tefartim, with all of their honor and their glory, and there have been great people and great tzaddikim and tzidkaniyot and people who brought so much kiddush Hashem and chokhma and inspired us, but with all of their greatness and all of their neshama achieves and all of the part of what their neshama achieves, which we can't even fathom in olam hazeh, that's so small compared to doing the will of Hashem, that once a person understands what doing the will of Hashem is, the rest doesn't even register. Shahakol shelo, that all is from him. Umiyado yisparach lohem. He's paraphrasing Mishnah Navas, but the Mishnah says, Tain lo mishalo, give to him from what is his, because you and what you have, it's all from him. That's the bigger picture. Kol ha'achayil hazeh, all the, well, he means the spiritual wealth that you have, all of that is just a drop in the bucket of what he has. Im kain, if so, bevadai, certainly, acharei, after she is baralo, zeh borur, when this becomes clear to him. And that's the hard part. This is a lofty idea to make it clear and vivid. What is all of Musar? Is taking ideas that we can understand, that we even recognize the truth of, but making them vivid and real. It's a very big idea in the writings of the Altar of Kelm, which Yerucham of Avitz elaborates on, that all of Musar is just making the picture more vivid. At a certain level, he talks about our whole goal is to go over things with a pen. It's like it's a faint picture. He calls it Havaras Kulmus. Going over what's already right in front of your face. It's like somebody made a pencil sketch, and now all you got to do is turn it into the Mona Lisa by, you know, filling in the color. So it's really all there already. So that's the problem with this, is it's very easy to say the words. It's a lot harder to live a life where I'm really thinking about, not only am I not going to get distracted by Yitzhahara, I'm going to pursue what's good for my neshama, but I'm not even pursuing what's good for my neshama because of that in and of itself. I'm pursuing that because of the greater effect that it has. He says that's what the Mishnah means in Avos, Shelo Amanas L'Kabal Pras. That's what it means. So it has to be borer, it has to be clear, kefi amitas hadavar, per the truth of the matter. Im kain. I'm sorry, ef shaklal, if he's able to do that, ef shaklal shetisbol nafsho, it's impossible that his soul could even tolerate mitzad ha-seichel v'hayosher, just from proper seichel. What he's saying is like this, it's one thing if you tell me seichel tells you to do X, your logic tells you do X, but sacrifice that for Hashem. Go against your own logic. What he's saying is, that's not even what this is. Logic tells you. Pure logic, if you get to the real bottom of it, logic tells you it has to be this way. Because logic tells you how can... my seichel tells me that the guy who was happy with the $1,000 check when he just saved a whole state is a fool. So he's saying if we understood this as clearly as we understand that, then logic would tell me it's impossible to think about my own neshama's perfection when I recognize the greater good that does. So, if Shaklal Shatizbol Nashim Itzad Seichel, yes, it's impossible his soul could tolerate, even from the perspective of Seichel. Shum Kavana Ba'olam, any intent, any underlying goal in the world, Kiyim Asiyas Nachas Ruach Lefanav, but making a pleasantness to Hashem. Umizeh Novin Godol HaChochma V'Hashleimus. And from this, all of this is just to understand one line in the Mishnah. From this, we can understand the great Chochma and completion. Completion, Shahishirunu lo Chazal ba'atzasim ba'azarasim, that Chazal were guiding us in a straight path when they said with their counsel and their exhortation, Al tiyu kavodim hamashamshim esarav amanas l'kavol pras, don't be like servants who serve the master in order to receive a reward. Ella, rather, havu kavodim, be like servants hamashamshim esarav shalom amanas l'kavol pras, who serve the master not to receive a reward. Now you know what it means. So that's what it means.
No.
Well, it's clear as now, we have an approach to understand what it means. And he points out an added, what we call a kinech, another little point. V'diyeh klomer avodim v'lo bonim. The way the Mishnah says it, and he means when it's telling you what you should be, it says, be like slaves who serve their master not to receive a reward. It doesn't even say that be like children who serve their parent not to receive a reward. Lishlol means to negate. We talk about chiyuvi and shlili. Chiyuvi means positive and shlili means negative. So lishlol means to negate, just like shalol, booty. What do? You deplete the enemy of what they had. So that's called shalol. It means depletion, negation, negative. So lishlol, to negate, afilu milui hanatiya hativis shal kedushas hanefesh atzmeya el Hashem v'el dvar kodesho. It's a very subtle point, but he's saying a child naturally wants to please the parent. It should be that way. To this day, when a mother gets nachas, it makes her feel good. He had said this really in the beginning. Well, to some degree, but he's saying that even the relationship of us as bonin to Hashem, which there's a certain feeling of, because of our relationship, therefore I feel good when I did His will. He said even that is overshadowed and dwarfed by the effect that it has. The effect of doing the will of Hashem. I don't need that I'm His kid. To give a mashal, if the boss has such a system worked out that when you do your job, he has just organized a company. The company is a terrible mashal because it's so far off, but he's organized a company that's putting out such a product and doing such a service for the world. It's fixing the world. So when you just do your job, you are, and every person's job is key, because without any one of those things, the machine doesn't come together. When you just do your job, you are playing a pivotal role in perfecting the universe. He just figured out this product, this system. So does it really matter whether the boss is your father or the boss is just a boss? What's the difference? When you do your job and he is the mastermind who worked it all out, you're fixing the universe. Oh, and daddy's going to be happy with me. Who cares? And if he weren't your daddy, would it make a difference? When you think about the grandness of what you're achieving, it doesn't matter. So he says, therefore, Chazal used a terminology, a relationship of servant to master, which is where a servant to a master, he's my boss. I just do the job. It negates even any kind of personal relationship. He's saying that too, because Chazal were saying the result of what you do is so great that it should outdo that too. So he says that's why they didn't even say, Chazal didn't want to say you shouldn't be like children who serve the parent in order to receive a reward, because that also would be a distraction. That's what he's saying. He throws in that added point. V'afim katsra da'atenu lahavin ze befratius. Even if our minds, and we should be zochet of a mind like Rav Kook, but if he's having a hard time with this, we should, but even if our minds are too short, too shallow to understand this in its details, like there's some things you can tell me the basic structure of it, but I can't really know the details. When you know something with all of its details, you know it much better. If you know a science and you know exactly how the whole machine works, if you know that when you press on the gas, the car accelerates, or every little piece of how that works, it's a very big difference. So even if our seichel is too shallow to understand this with all of its details, Mikol makom, nevertheless, al yidei kesher ha'amuna ha'shleima v'ha'avona ha'klolis, by connecting true belief, full belief, and the, I don't know if he means general understanding or overarching understanding. The word klali can sometimes mean general, or it can sometimes mean all-inclusive. I don't know which one he means here. I don't know whether he means thinking in terms of the big picture, the way I just taught you to think, or if he just means we can't understand the details, but we can at least understand the general structure. Either way, by connecting emuna and that, bizchus ha'avoda, of the merit, he probably means the second, he probably means just having a general understanding of the great merit of avoda, ya'iru einenu b'ma'or Torah, he will illuminate our eyes with the light of Torah,
V'nizke lios miyireya v'choshve shmo. We'll be zocha, that we'll merit to be those who truly fear him and give prominence, understand his great name. Some things in Secha, we think about it to the best of our ability, and then we say, because of that, I'm going to pursue it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to believe in it, and believe that it's deeper than I, and recognize that it's deeper than I understand. And when you have that mindset, sometimes Hashem gives a gift, and then he helps a person understand it more. The great luminaries, how did they understand what they understood in Torah? They took it to the fullest degree that they could, and then Hashem says, all right, I'll take you the rest. Because I'll say even about Moshe Rabbeinu, in the 40 days Moshe Rabbeinu was harsin with all of his chachma, and all, it said at the beginning Moshe tried to understand the Torah and he couldn't, ad shenasan alav matan, Hashem gave it to him as a gift. And that's really everything. We do our best, and then, but ultimately it's not enough. But if we'll take things to the fullest, Hashem will say, okay, here, I'll take you by the hand, I'll take you the rest of the way. So he's saying we can't fully wrap our minds around this concept, but if we'll do it to the best that we can, he'll illuminate our eyes. Ki hamase v'akavona haklos, because the action and the general intent, v'adai menasim es hanafshi, they certainly elevate the soul, l'makar ha-chachma, to the source of chachma, shemimena chutzvu, that they were yun, they were carved out from it. In other words, this is not, seichel is not a computer. Seichel is a function of your neshama, which is a chelak elokami mal. And if a person will work on thinking that I'm part of this greater good, and that's what I'm trying to work for, and of course that brings shleimus to my neshama, but it's this grander goal of being part of the collective completion, which is the will of Hashem, and that's what I'm after. And even though I don't really know what I'm talking about when I say those words, but I believe it, and I to my limited degree I understand it, you thereby connect your neshama to where it came from. And the more your neshama connects to where it came from, the more it understands. That's what he's saying. It's an incredible idea. V'sham yiru hadvarim b'beiruram b'or p'nei melachayim. And there he will see these things in their clarity. You know, I was once trying to help an 11th grader. When I was in yeshiva, I was, about 20. I was trying to help an 11th grader prepare he had to say a chabur. He had to present a good question and a good answer. I remember we were working on a piece from Rav Naftali Trupp, and I didn't know him very well. And I started to go through it. And after a while, I realized he just couldn't get the details of it. So eventually what I did is I just summarized the idea of the question without getting the specifics of why that's difficult from the Gemara itself. And we summarized the answer, and that's what he presented. But that's all of us. What he's saying is, a lot of chachma, we don't really know the deal. All I know is Hashem's glory is greater than any glory I've ever seen. And even though bringing my neshama to its glory is a great and lofty goal, but the big picture is much greater than that. Therefore, of course, it makes sense that my goal should be that greater glory. What that really means, what that looks like, I don't know what I'm talking about. He says, but the more that a person has a muna in that and works on that, the more his neshama communes with that and the more he will understand. I don't know if he means an olam hazeh or an olam haba, but the neshama will get to experience that. That's what he says. In the next piece, he talks about, just like, and that we'll have to do next time, but he says, and there's another way to look at this, I think I understand it correctly, that just like in chachma, the goal is to bring one's own chachma to the highest level, approaching Hashem's chachma, the same is true in will. Our will is most perfected when it's closest to his will. And he talks about if a person has only chachma and not will, that's the worst thing in the world. In fact, he borrows a phrase from the Gemara. Rava once said to his Talmidim, "B'matusu menach," means I ask you, please don't be people who inherit two Gehenims, which means hell in two places, which is what? He says, if you'll be Talmidei Chachamim and not live up to what you've learned, that's double trouble, which is a greatly reduced way of saying it. It's Gehenim in both worlds. What does it mean? Because if I know things, I don't live up to it, so I will not be rewarded for my actions. And yet I troubled myself instead of at least having Olam Hazeh, at least eat, drink, and be merry, and have no Olam Haba. Instead of that, I sacrificed all that in order to pursue Chachma. So I spent my whole life trying to understand Hashem, but then I didn't live up to what I understood, So I negated Olam Hazeh. Instead of enjoying this world, I pursued Chachma. But then I didn't live up to the Chachma. My Ratzon didn't synchronize with my Chachma, so I won't be rewarded for it. So basically, I end up having not this world and not the next world. Rav said, please, Rabbi Yisai, don't do that. Don't get Gehenim in both worlds. So he was saying, if we have Chachma, we have to live up to it. So Rav Kook's going to talk about it. A person needs Chachma and Ratzon. If I'm able to learn everything as a theoretical, but I can't bring my Ratzon to synchronize with it, my will, that's the worst thing. So, and he's going to say that just like Chachma seeks Chachma Hashem, Ratzon seeks Ratzon Hashem, and therefore the greatest Ratzon is to do the Ratzon of Hashem, which is also a deep idea. We'll continue with that next time. But I think what all this points to is we're really supposed to think in much bigger. The Western world, everything's individual. And to some degree, in practical life, maybe it should be that way. Individual liberties, but in Ruchnias and spirituality, it's all about being part of something bigger. And the more we think the way says Rav Kook, the more we will understand, the more we will perfect our neshamas, but the more we'll realize that that's not the ultimate goal either. The ultimate goal is the bigger picture. Can you hear Ratzon?
Can you repeat this? I mean, you'll do a little summary.
Look, it is deep.